they've been doing to encourage environmental stewardship. And then later in our next hour, we're going to be talking with some students who experienced poverty in a simulated situation designed to give them an immersive experience into what it's like to experience poverty. They'll talk about that experience then, and then about some of the ideas that it generated after going through that. So that's in our next hour. I think you'll enjoy hearing these fresh voices. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start at the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio.
Children, to my story that was written long ago, about a kingdom on the mountain and the valley folks below. On the mountain was a treasure buried deep beneath the stone, and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own. Go ahead, nature, neighbor, go ahead, cheat a friend, do it in the name of heaven, just the mighty. One tin soldier rides away. So the people of the valley sent a message up the hill, asking for the buried treasure, tons of gold for which they killed. Came an answer from the mountain, with our brothers we will share all the secrets of the mountain, all the riches buried there. Go ahead, nature, neighbor, go ahead, cheat a friend, do it in the name of heaven, just abide in the end. There won't be trumpets blowing come the judgment day, on the bloody morning after. One tin soldier rides away. One tin soldier rides away.
That is brand new, and I've been looking forward to playing it for you for a couple of weeks. It's the Bibblehauser Brothers. I'm sorry, the Bibblehauser Brothers. And that includes Sam Bush singing along in that recording of One Tin Soldier. And that song goes back a ways, doesn't it? Welcome to this hour of the Saturday Light Brigade. In a moment, we are going to talk with students who are part of the Phipps Conservatory Youth Climate Advocacy Committee. You'll have a chance to learn about their work and their perspectives on environmental issues, present and future.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial Audio Solutions, providing configurable audio playback and streaming software solutions to radio stations, webcasters, and businesses around the world since 1998. Additional information is available at spatialaudio.com. That's S-P-A-C-I-A-L audio.com.
SLB summer camps offer middle and high school students one-of-a-kind experiences at our Youth Media Center, including opportunities to learn new skills, get creative, make new friends, and have their voices be heard. Our summer 2025 schedule includes 6 weeks of camps in July and August. No experience is needed and scholarships are available. Learn more about themes, dates, and how to register at slbradio.org/summercamps2025.
A few slots are still open, and there are indeed several scholarships still available. slbradio.org/summercamps2025 is where to go. Well, now we are going to talk about the environment. And we have four students with us this morning. I'm going to ask you all, if you would, to identify yourself. Tell us the grade you're about to finish up, the school you go to. And if you have any shout-outs, this is the perfect time to do it for people listening now or who will listen later. And Arturo, we're going to start with you.
So my name's Arturo and I go to Baldwin High School and I'm finishing up my senior year currently.
Do you know what you'll be doing afterwards?
Yeah, I'll be going to Boston College to study environmental studies.
Excellent.
My name is Dylan Reddy. I go to the Environmental Charter High School and I'm in 11th grade.
Any shout outs?
Nope, not right now.
Hi, I'm Minzy. I go to Swickley Academy, and I'm also finishing my 12th grade right now.
Hi, I'm Songyan, and I go to North Allegheny Intermediate High School, and I'm in my sophomore year.
And I should go back to Minzy. Do you know what you're going to be doing this fall?
Oh, yeah. I go to Rutgers, enter the six-year pharmacy program. I want to go into industry pharmacy and and do something more about the environmental friendly pharmacy policies. That's all.
Interesting. That demands that I ask a little follow-up. You're thinking about how the pharmaceutical industry impacts the environment?
Yes, because there are like a lot of antidepressants like going in the rivers, and I don't think they care about it that much. So maybe.
There sure are. And there's a whole lot of unused medications, too, that there's no real reverse distribution system to get those back to be disposed of properly.
Exactly.
Well, I'm curious to get to know all of you. I know a little bit about the program. Did each of you have individual projects that you pursued as part of the program, or were you together as a group?
There are many different groups. So, like, I'm not sure if everyone here was in a different group, but there are, like, different, like, yeah. we did have different groups, like different topics.
That's my memory. And I guess let's just talk about the importance of the environment first from your perspective. That's a very broad question, but each of you care enough that you're here on a holiday weekend on a Saturday morning, and you've also taken part in the program at Phipps Conservatory. Why is the environment important from your perspective? And please, anybody, just jump right in.
I mean, obviously, there's the obvious answer of, like, this is our world and we want to make sure that it's safe and comfortable for everyone. But I think also there's a part of it that's, like, environmental issues can feel really impersonal. They can feel, like you said, broad and big and impossible. And so by reaching out to a group of other people our age, we're able to take that broadness and that impossible feeling and make it a little bit more possible. And it helps with those individual projects as well, because we all get to have our own opinion or like belief of what is the most important to focus on in our personal lives. And I think, yeah.
When you say making it more relatable, it probably seems so big sometimes that you would feel, what am I going to do? What impact could I possibly have? Does it feel that way sometimes? And how do you deal with that when it does?
I feel like whenever like topics feel like a little bit too broad or like getting like the proper outreach, it's always kind of nice to like connect with like your local community through like different maybe like tabling events or just like kind of like outreach programs to try to like, you know, if you're feeling like small and that like maybe your voice isn't being heard, you're not making a big enough impact, it's always kind of nice to just kind of connect with some like of your local peers just to kind of, you know, spread that awareness.
That's good to bring up. Are there other strategies or things you think about when it comes to making things at least seem more manageable or that you can have an impact?
Yeah, I agree. Because like as our tour said, there are like a lot of youths. There are like a lot of youths coming from all sides of Pittsburgh, from urban areas, from suburbs, or rural areas. But we all have the same opinion on the environment, and we got to share our opinions together. And our program also invites a lot of like environmentalists in their area, like in the legal legislative areas or like in tree planting areas. So that also expands our point of view, and that's just really important for us too, because we need to be knowledgeable in this area to be actually to be advocating for the right issue, if that makes sense. So yeah, so like I don't know, like just gathering around with around peers and just having the thought that we're all together is like really important.
Anybody else want to add anything about that topic?
Yeah, I think educating yourself is a big one, definitely.
And anything that you'd like to add?
Like small things that you can do in your house can like also like be like a small hand to like help the environment, I think. Like just like planting like little plants in your house can be like good for your mental health, and like it can make a like a greener place for your house or something. And then you can just like reduce like unnecessary like energy used in your house by like energy auditing. And yeah, you can just like join like your local community to do like small things like tree planting in your community, or just like making a community garden. And those stuff seems like small, but like all those like small like helps can like make a big difference. So
small actions can, it's amazing. They can go viral, so to speak, and be a good thing. Now, as part of the Phipps Conservatory Youth Climate Advocacy Committee, what did you all do? I think you've got some individual projects, but was there an event where everybody came together also?
There was a final tabling situation. What did we call it?
Like the showcase?
Showcase, yes, that's what it's
there
called.
There it is.
where we all had a table that we set up and got to talk to our families and friends and anyone who wanted to come hang out and learn. And it was really awesome. We had a sustainable fashion show, and lots of people were passing out seeds and candy and food. We had food. Mm-hmm.
was that at FET?
Yes, it was. It was in the event center / Tropical Forest. What's
yes.
that called?
Yes.
That's what it's called? Okay.
Awesome. So, Dylan, did you have a project as part of you being on the committee, something you pursued with your group?
Yeah, so my group was focusing on gardening because you're right. That's really, it's one of the best ways to like connect yourself to the planet, I think. And we called ourselves PGH Blooms, and we created a website that had just like tons and tons of information about different forms of gardening that you can do, from really basic beginner like putting soil in a pot and a seed to things like hydroponics. So we got to research all of these different types of planting and gardening, and we got to create a little space where everyone can go see what they need to learn and pick and choose what is best for their house and their family.
What were you hoping to do with the website that would make it different than other resources and maybe help people connect with it in a way that perhaps would make them take action or just get them more engaged?
Really, we were seeking to educate and just make sure that we were sharing information in a way that was understandable. You know, I think it can be really intimidating to start gardening. I feel like it's a skill that people don't think that they have, but, you know, skills can be made and grown, and just like plants. And so it's really important that we made it a little less intimidating. We said, hey, it's not as difficult as it seems. It's just some soil and some seeds.
I agree with you. I find gardening, I worry about things. Is this the right soil? Am I putting this deep enough? And I mean, I've been doing it long enough, but I tend to almost agonize over it rather than just saying, just do it,
yeah.
You know, and not worry about it. I'm that way with cutting trees and pruning things. I never know what to do. What did you learn in doing the project? Anything surprise you or kind of fascinate you as you did it?
I mean, going back to that community part, it's the first time that I've been able to participate in something like this where I'm in a group full of people who are all sort of focused on the same thing that's outside of school. And I think it was really, really eye-opening to see people care about researching and learning, and I didn't learn anything too new because I researched something that I already knew, but yeah, I think like being in a community, that was kind of the new thing to me, and it was really great.
Thanks, Dylan. Anybody else want to tell me about the project that they did?
My group, we focus on native plant species in Pittsburgh, so we created kind of like an app / website called like EcoTrack, and we just kind of wanted to like kind of make a fun, interactive like site where like people in the community could kind of see where all the native plants were like in their area, and there was like a fun little map and scrapbook that went along with it too. So yeah, our main goal is just kind of focusing on like spreading awareness about native plants and like how important they are for like biodiversity and things like that.
A lot of people don't think about native plants. We do a lot. That's one thing I know about. For one, they're easier to grow and they're also more appropriate to grow, mm-hmm. because they'll help the wildlife that's around and they'll help take over. Did you find some particular plants that you wish more people would use or that you think do particularly well in this area? and I don't want to put you on the spot. There's
No, you're
many.
Okay. Great. One that is grows really well here is the blue like lupine, and it's also I found that it's very like pretty as well. So it's always it's like nice if you like to plant it around your house.
Nice. That's not one. What's it called again?
The blue lupine, or lupin.
Excellent. That sounds like a great one. Any others come to mind?
Not off the top of my head. Do you guys know any?
Cornflower?
Cornflower?
Is that what they're called?
There's quite a few, right. But looking for Western Pennsylvania natives is a good thing. And how do you get to your website?
We have a QR code. We're working on still like getting the social aspect out because we presented this at like the showcase as well, so we just had a QR code, but we're working on getting up an Instagram, things like that, so that other people can access the site as well.
Excellent. Well, we've linked to Phipps Conservatory Youth Climate Advocacy Committee's page at Phipps, so that's another place to get to it. Let's go to Song Yan. Do you want to share your project?
Okay, so me and my group were doing energy auditing, which is what do you say?
So I was also in that group too. So we did a project about energy auditing because energy auditing is important in terms of your wallet and the environment, because energy auditing can decrease energy consumption, and which means electricity bills too. So so we made a pamphlet of how to conduct an energy audit by your own or do an energy audit professionally, and where you can find those grants, because these financial burdens are real, and we just wanted to lower the barrier of starting your first energy auditing, because it's greater than your long term. And we did some demonstrations on what kind of bulbs that we should use and how it's like better on the long term. And we are also planning to do a community outreach to a library to children to demonstrate how energy auditing works. And yeah, so that was basically a project.
What a great idea to reach younger people so they understand. Did either of you audit where you live or your schools?
We did audit our house after after we researched about energy auditing, because I was reluctant to do energy auditing because of the price, but after our research I got to find out that there are like a lot of opportunities of financial aid from Duquesne Light and like from other electricity utility companies. So we got to utilize the opportunity and we did our first energy auditing. So it was really nice.
I didn't realize that energy audits would be expensive. I know that you can often get them from the utility companies, but did you discover maybe that there's an industry out there of people that want to sell you an energy audit, and they're expensive if you want to have somebody come in, if you pick the wrong? I mean, it sounds to me like sometimes you can get them for free, or you can buy one if you don't know about the programs.
Yeah, like call a professional, and you can call a professional, but that can be a little costly. But there's always financial aid from the government, from nonprofit organizations around Pittsburgh or other places in America, and also like from utilities companies. So you can always utilize that. And also you can always do your own energy auditing, which is like really simple and low cost. Like it just starts with are there any leaking windows, or just touching your ceiling with your finger. It's simple like that. So
that's great. And is that the main project that you worked on, Minji? The two of you both worked on that project. Anything else you want to add about it?
About energy auditing?
Yeah, about your project.
Oh, I don't know, we're just really excited to outreach to our to children about energy auditing, because I mean, because like I don't think like educating about the environment should be postponed to a later age. Like I think it should be educated as soon as possible, because I think that's really important, because they should consider environment as the part of themselves, because I mean we eat food from the environment and we live inside the environment. So I think that's so we're really excited to outreach to children about energy auditing.
These are all amazing projects, and I really appreciate your sharing them. I'm curious, we have a few minutes left. First, did anybody want to say something about the FIPS program or your projects that you didn't get a chance to say? Because I was going to turn to something a little more broad, but I want to be sure we cover that, Arturo.
A quick, I guess, like, shout out or note in terms of FIPS and, like, as a whole with, like, their programs. They're a really obviously a great place, and they offer a lot of, like, youth programs that are very beneficial and, like, engaging, especially, like, to the youth. And I definitely would, like anyone who's listening, I would definitely, like, take advantage of those opportunities, even if you, you know, maybe you don't really know much about the environment. Like, that's obviously completely fine. It's completely like an educational space, and I feel like these programs has strengthened like our passion and like our desire to like want to do better by the environment because of like these programs at FIPS. So,
excellent. I'm curious, if you had a directive to adults and you were sure they would follow it, if you could say, I wish you would do this with respect to anything related to the environment, does something come to mind? It doesn't have to be perfect or the biggest thing, but is there something that you wish adults or even other people simply understood and that they could do to make a difference?
One that comes to mind is simply just to like advocate more. Like, I know obviously there are adults who advocate for the environment just like how there are youth. And I just feel like anyone, whether you are youth or you're also an adult, like just to kind of advocate more and be more supportive of the environment. I feel like a lot in like recent times, sometimes like the youth, like, right, were a very powerful voice, but sometimes people would rather listen to adults. So I just feel like, you know, if adults were maybe to, get involved more or try to, you know, back our, like, the youth as a whole's ideas more, I feel like that could be more effective.
Definitely. I think...
Anybody else?
I think definitely that. Definitely, like, let's work together. That'd be nice. I think also just listening. I think it's kind of weird that we live in a world where environmental issues are, like, a debatable topic. I think we can all agree that's a little weird. And so I think it's just like listening and educating yourself and not going on the defensive about it, right? This isn't, we're all in this together. This is all our planet. And so I think it's important that we take a breath and not fight. I think we need to just work together. And
do you want more, if anything, debate the solutions, but not the science?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I agree, because like some adults look the side as just as between black and white. They think like, oh, even if I plant something, that's not gonna, they think, oh, this is not gonna do like something amazing for the environment, but it's definitely gonna do something. And if this if you keep doing this again and again and again, even if it's a small snap, that's gonna be a big influence to our community. And like some adults think that like environmental stuffs are not that they're not that beneficial for the environment, but I don't think that's correct, because like environmental consciousness, I mean, we have to see the long term these, and if you see the long term, it's definitely beneficial for the finances, and it creates jobs and it's also good for the earth and this too. So, yeah.
Thank you. That was Minchie, and you heard Dylan before, and also Arturo. And let's turn finally to Songyan. Anything you'd like to add?
It would be great if like adults will like participate in like small activities that you can do at home, like recycling, and then planting like plants or like little trees with their kids, like saying like, "Hey, environment," and then. Obviously, like also the energy auditing for their wallets, and I just like want to let them know that like little actions could like, actually like help the big like community, and then all those like small actions will like later on like over the years will like help in like a small way or like in a big impact.
Well, you're all great spokespeople for the planet, and thank you for being here. I hope people will look more at the Phipps Conservatory Youth Climate Advocacy Committee and its programs. I hope you have a great summer. Thanks to each of you for being here. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions. Coming up, we're going to talk with another group of teens about poverty and ways to address it.
Eu comprei carro que demais. Se pensa, ele faz. Eu acho tão bonito, mas dizem que é esquisito. Na partida já sai de marcha ré. Embaixo tem um furo pra frear o pé. E quando eu tento outra direção, o motor esquenta e tem explosão. Esse é o meu pancada, às vezes me mete enrascada. Vive paquerando as motoquinhas, fazendo confusão na calçada. Esse é o meu pancada, às vezes me mete enrascada. Vive paquerando as motoquinhas, fazendo confusão na calçada. Em vez de farol tem lamparina, mas tem um apito no lugar da buzina. Falta uma porta e o capô. Tinha um estepe, mas alguém levou. Por isso o meu carro é demais. Se não vai pra frente, vai pra trás. Pra mim faz tudo o que puder, mas só vou aonde ele quiser. Esse é o meu pancada, às vezes me mete enrascada. Vive paquerando as motoquinhas, fazendo confusão na calçada. Esse é o meu pancada, às vezes me mete enrascada. Vive paquerando as motoquinhas, fazendo confusão na calçada. Mas alguém levou, por isso o meu carro é demais. Se não vai pra frente, vai pra trás. Pra mim faz tudo o que puder, mas só vou aonde ele quiser. Esse é o meu pancada, às vezes me mete enrascada. Vive paquerando as motoquinhas, fazendo confusão na calçada. Esse é o meu pancada, às vezes me mete enrascada. Paquerando as motoquinhas, fazendo confusão na calçada. Ei, pancada, mete enrascada. fazendo confusão na calçada. Pancada.
Tavares. That translates a song that translates to my nutty car. Thank you for being with us this morning. And you picked a good day to be tuned in. Our Youth Express Hour is taking place, and we're right in the midst of it. And we have four students that are going to be joining us now to talk about a really interesting project they took part in, which gives them a chance to have an immersive experience in what poverty would feel like, and sort of a simulation of poverty, after which they have an opportunity to talk about it and also talk about possible solutions now that they've seen that experience through a lens that's very much calibrated towards the way people feel on a regular basis. And Abby, is it? It says here that last night was the senior prom. Is that true?
Yeah, that is.
And you're here.
Yeah, I've got 3.5 hours of sleep.
I'm honored that you're here. I don't know. I don't think I got any sleep after the prom. I hope it went well.
It was fun. Thanks.
What was the theme?
Great Gatsby.
Ah. Interesting. You didn't read that book this year, did you?
Nope.
Because the Great Gatsby, we're going to talk about poverty too. Every year, the country chooses a book for something called the Big Read. And that's the book they chose this year, a book, and they encourage everybody in the community to read the book. And I know that a lot of people in Allegheny County were reading that book. Tell me about your role with the program, and also you're at Peters Township and about to graduate, right?
Yeah. So for the Poverty Sim, I was in charge of planning it this year. And then I also went out and I talked to a room of about 200 people to try to recruit other students in other townships, which is actually how I met Rhea. And then I helped just run the simulation as it went this year. And then, yes, I am graduating this year, and I'm going to go on to Penn State for engineering.
Excellent. And we'll talk a bit. We're going to come back to you and talk more about how you ran this whole program. But let's talk to Rhea, who is about to finish 10th grade at North Allegheny.
Yeah.
And tell me a bit about yourself and why you wanted to get involved with this program.
Well, I just really wanted to be involved because I thought it was an amazing concept and something really good to learn about. I think especially at North Allegheny, and I know a lot of other school districts, we kind of live in more of a bubble because we're not as exposed to these types of situations. But it was really amazing to get some exposure onto like how other people are living and that this is happening and how to like spread solutions.
Thank you. And I think that's a really good recognition of how easy it is to be isolated or to have less of an understanding. The school district I grew up in, which was in Churchill, at the time was not particularly diverse, and most people did not worry about poverty at all, let alone just at certain times of the year or month. So It's good to get a better understanding. Now, Abby is a twin. You need to know that since you're listening on the radio, and that's Alex. Alex, tell me a bit about yourself.
So I'm in 10th grade right now, also Peters Township, I guess, obviously.
Siblings. I'm sorry. It says siblings here. That's my my bad. I'm sorry. You're not twins. You're just... That's me misreading my notes.
No, but I'm younger brother. I participate in a few clubs at school. I'm on the tennis team, and I was trying to get, like, a little bit more involved with, like, school and extracurriculars and activities like that. So I joined our school's Interact Club this year, and then that's kind of how I was able to do the poverty sim through that and also kind of help reach out and do more events through the school and through community.
That's excellent. When I was in school tennis, I had to quit the tennis team because it took too much of me. It was like, and maybe most sports are like this, but I just couldn't commit to the grind. Do you find yourself practicing and doing team practices every day of the week, pretty much?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a lot. Like, my freshman year, I was on the soccer team, too. And then doing both school sports was a big commitment. So now I just do tennis, and I'll play that year round. But like during the team season for the school, it's certainly like every single day.
Yeah, you mentioned being involved in other activities. I'm glad you can fit it all in.
Yeah,
I had a little bit of trouble. And then Molly is here too. Hello, and tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Molly. I am a sophomore.
Hang on, Molly. I made a mistake. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Molly. I'm a sophomore at Peters Township. I'm also involved in the Interact Club, which is how I got involved with the poverty simulation this year. I also play tennis, and I'm also a member of the marching band. So I'm very busy, but I've found a great community within our Interact Club, which is how I've gotten involved in great opportunities like the poverty simulation.
What do you play in marching band?
I play the trombone.
You guys all have me reliving high school. I played drums.
Okay.
And he's off today, but our technical director plays trombone, so he would enjoy swapping notes with you. Who can describe, and maybe we can have Abby lead off, how do you simulate poverty and sort of take us through what you all and other students that were part of the simulation, how it went?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing to start with is it is just that, a simulation, and nobody is claiming that it's a full understanding, but it's just an important experience to have to try to have more knowledge, because as Rhea said, we do live in a bubble. So I volunteered this year and I participated last year. And basically how it works is you are assigned a family, and then you have different roles. And like, for example, you can start in debt. And as you go on, you find that each 15 minutes simulates a week, and you find that it's really difficult to just continue, and when you look around by the end, almost everyone is homeless.
And these are fictitious families or model families that have been defined by the people that created the exercise?
Yeah, you're given a packet where you're all assigned a different role to play. Like, you might be a mother, okay. You might be a child. And you try to function within that role and within that family. And then as I volunteered this year, I helped run the bank. So I had a different look on it where I got to really see how everyone was struggling and I couldn't do anything as a member of the community to help it. And it just really gives you a wider understanding of what people go through. But again, no one is claiming that it is a complete look at it.
It's a really good approach, though. So you're given this part to play, and it certainly gives you more empathy, I would think. If not a perfect experience. Anybody want to talk about, this occurs in one evening, or?
Yeah, so we were actually hosted at the Lamplighter Inn, which is owned by a member of the Rotary Club, which is how we got in. And it takes about an hour to run the full experience, and then you get to talk about it after. But within that hour, you get to experience like a very condensed version of what a month would be like in poverty.
Wow. So who has some observations about what you did and maybe what it made you feel just from the experience itself? We'll go to solutions later, but I'm curious just what the experience was like.
So one of the biggest things I took out of the experience is things we take for granted every day is something that people in poverty have to think about constantly. An example of this was in the simulation, my family had no steady income. I was playing the role of a 13-year-old, and we were being taken care of by, like, our 18-year-old brother, I believe. So we had no steady income, but we still had to go to school. And there was one day at school, the teacher said, hey, I need everyone to bring back X amount of money for a field trip we're going on. And that's something, you know, we, at our school districts, we just were like, okay, great, we'll go home and bring back money the next day. For us, that was super difficult, even though it was only a small amount of money, like $10. That was $10 we needed to be putting toward food and utilities and paying taxes and whatnot. So that was, like, really, really difficult for us. And that's something that I had never thought about before the simulation.
That's an amazing observation, Molly, because you don't, what seems so simple to you is not, or simple and doable is not for others. Anybody else have one? Rhea?
I know that I was kind of, I found that I was kind of feeling both panicked and guilty. I knew it was a simulation, so obviously I was able to calm myself down a little, but I did notice my heartbeat was picking up. I was getting nervous. So my role was I was a mother. I had an infant, and then my partner was at work all day. So my job was to get all the bus passes, do the bank. Like, I had to do everything because she wasn't there. And yeah, it was just like, I know a lot of people started like selling drugs and stuff in order to like come out of their poverty and like try and pay off their debts.
In the simulation.
In the simulation, yeah.
Wow. No, but still that's something.
Yeah, it's just like the fact that like there's such a small amount of support for these people that even in a simulation, that's what so many like families had to resort to. That's what I saw, that even though like there was a homeless shelter and there was like social services, there was still so much, like, I don't know the word for it. It was just so sad to see for me, because you would like to think that our community is super close knit, but this is what happens behind the scenes.
And you mentioned before feeling like the community you live in is in a bubble, so to speak. And you started to feel nervous. You were mentioning earlier, I think you can't feel that kind of tension when you almost can lose yourself in a simulation like this.
Mm-hmm.
So great observation. What about for you, Alex?
For me, I think the biggest thing I took away from it was like how easy it is to get set off course when we were doing it. Like, we started out week one. I was a parent and the only one in the family who was in work, and we had three kids, and we were in debt, but like I looked at everything we had and it was like, okay, I can make a plan from this, right? And then by the end of week one, we got robbed, and that just set everything off course. So then like right after that, basically we had, like, by week two, week three, we were homeless, and like my spouse was in jail, and it was like things that if it were to happen to, like, you know, say me in real life, right, like something like that, you can kind of come back from that or you can do something. But in that situation, like, it set everything off course and there wasn't really anything we could do to try to get back on our feet. And I think that was interesting to see. Like, it was really an eye-opener that, like, things can, like, when something happens, it's unfortunate or, like, unpredicted, that set everything off course. Like, you could feel the tension and the stress as the thing went on, as the simulation went on, because more and more, like, things were happening to people that, like, when it's out of your control, then that can just screw everything up for you.
So you know, we hear sometimes that people are a paycheck away from poverty or a disaster away from poverty, but you actually got to see and experience how that can happen, like the robbery suddenly changing everything.
Yeah, it's like when you're right on the edge, like right riding that line, and then something can push you over into poverty. It's really, really difficult for people to get out of it.
Any other thoughts about the experience itself? And then I'm curious to talk about ideas for maybe changing the world, Rhea?
Kind of like what Abby was saying earlier, since she was volunteering this time instead of participating. I remember I was talking with my interact advisors at North Allegheny after, and they were also both volunteers. One was running like the health center and the other one was at social services. And they were saying how difficult it was because in their role, they had to be a little crueler. Because I guess in this world, you can't be nice to everybody. And I just remember, like, I know I was feeling so, so, so stressed because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to have enough bus passes to get my partner to work, to get me back home, to get to the bank and go see Abby and ask for some money. But it was really interesting to hear that they were also feeling so stressed because they had to play this role and there wasn't anything they could do for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think they end up having to almost have a boundary between what they probably would want to do, everything, including taking money out of their own pockets and giving it to you to help you, but there's a limit to what they can do.
Yeah, and I think also the fact of the matter is about 1 in 10 people in America live in poverty, and yet it's such a back burner issue that the systems we have in place do not really support that. Which is why we had to be, quote, meaner with how we ran the different services, because you literally cannot help everyone due to the fact that those systems do not have enough money and support to run that way. And then also, as everyone said, you're feeling tension, you're feeling stressed. And that was within about an isolated hour, and then afterwards we got to have lunch and talk about it. But in real life, that stress does not go away, and that can cause further heart problems and just so many other medical issues for things you already cannot afford, that there's even parts of this that we don't get to experience just because of how isolated it is.
Did any of you immediately think of changes that you think could help, or just reinventing this age-old system?
So one of the things we learned at the end of the simulation is that if the top 1% of taxpayers would pay their taxes, we wouldn't have poverty, which was just such a shocking fact to hear that, like, we could be solving this. We just are choosing not to. So I think we have to spread awareness about this subject to make sure that we are taking the steps in order to completely eliminate this if possible. So I think this simulation was a great eye-opening experience that we need to share with more people and have more people participate so that we can start finding a way to solve this nationwide issue.
And obviously, if the top 1% paid their taxes, that money would not directly go to poverty. It's more of a statistic to say this is how much is being withheld by the richest part of the population, and yet we put all of the blame on those who are in poverty. So if we just could have that money, you would see it would go to other services and other things, but it's just the fact that that is being withheld while we all claim that it's the bottom 10% that don't pay their taxes, when in reality the top one are the ones who need to contribute more.
Any other thoughts along those lines?
I think, again, like, the biggest thing would have to be spreading awareness, because for somebody who doesn't have to worry about poverty in their life and they're just going through their day-to-day lives, that's probably not something they're really thinking of that much. But then once you get to do an opportunity like we had to kind of step into those shoes and see part of what it's like, it really changes your perception of, like, how big of an issue poverty is. So for people who aren't really being exposed to that, that can be, like, they're not going to be thinking of that. So you need to spread the awareness that, like, they need to be.
We also learned that the working wage currently is not the living wage whatsoever. And like everybody's been saying, that funding and increasing that can't come without awareness and also empathy. I think a lot of times, especially because of COVID, especially our generation, our empathy is kind of dwindled in a way because we weren't as exposed to the world. I mean, we were in quarantine, we were stuck at home. So awareness and also just feeling for these people. And like Abby was saying, and like Molly was saying, realizing that it's not their fault. They're doing their best to get out, and we can't focus on those few cases where something may have happened wrong. We also have to focus on the people who are trying so hard every single day to get out and can't.
Yes, and also, kind of like she was saying, there are isolated cases where people are living off of welfare or intentionally taking advantage of the system, but the majority of people, the way it works is once you get over a certain amount of money, all of those services are stripped. So it's actually like a several thousand dollar gap you need to bridge to be able to afford all of that and get out. So people taking advantage of that system, it's few and far between, and to disproportionately skew that onto the entire population is just wrong and really a root of escapism.
Yeah, it's a very simple, inaccurate portrayal to do. It's pretty hard, if not impossible, to game the system, so to speak, yet folks will talk about it as if it's as easy as can be. I think part of it, too, is if you are in poverty, you probably try to hide it, right? You don't want other people to know to the degree you can. Did you find that, or did anybody talk about that?
I found that because I was working at the bank and I had the list of everyone's funding, it got to the point where it was no longer about pride, and people were simply trying to make it to the next week. The homeless shelter was full. There was nowhere else to go. People were just sitting on the floor with nothing to do, and no way out. And there's a line where people are poor but not in poverty, where at that point in the simulation, yeah, where they are trying to hide it. But you get to a certain point where you become so desperate, I think, that it's no longer about pride.
That's a really good observation, and I haven't thought about that. At some point, as Alex was saying, you sort of fall into poverty, and before you know it, you keep getting more and more dug in. It gets to the point where surviving is more important than keeping up appearances. That makes sense. Boy, our time has really flown by. To the sophomores here, are any of you going to step up to maybe lead the program next year? I see you nodding your heads.
I'd certainly love to have the opportunity. Certainly try to get involved with it again next year. Maybe try to run it.
Excellent. I think it's a terrific program. Do you know roughly how many people took part in it this year?
I would say there was definitely at least 100 people there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It grew exponentially from last year, largely because of a conference we held at a Rotary meeting where we presented the idea. And I mean, I would love for them to do that next year and really try to bring in even more counties across Western PA to experience this, because it's such a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Next year, I'm going to be the Area 3 representative for District 7305 of the Rotary. And like Alex said, I would love to try and get more people included and maybe even help run it.
Well, make sure you let us know when you're recruiting, because we can send out information, and let us know so we can do something like this again, because you've all really added to everybody's knowledge about poverty. This went very quickly. Did any of you have anything else you wanted to say that that I didn't give you space to say? Any thank yous or acknowledgments or words of